continue our series through the book of John. And I'm just going to jump in tonight and just share just a few thoughts with you. How many of you have ever heard any of these statements? How many of you ever heard that you are a product of the people that you hang around? Right? How many of you ever heard this statement? I know you have because I've said it more than one time. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Right? I've also said this one many times, so I know you've heard this, but you are the average of your five closest friends. In other words, that you're going to become who you hang around. Right? If you hang around grumpy people, guess what? You're going to have the grumpy club. If you hang around bitter people, you're going to have the bitter people club. If you hang around complainers, you're going to have your own complaining club, right? Isn't that true? Like you can just look at first of all, look at Scripture. Obviously, that's your first place. But how many know you can just look around the world and see that Scripture is true when it comes to that truth, right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we should be honest with ourselves and not deceive ourselves and to realize that the company we keep changes us. Here's how he says it. He says, don't be deceived or don't deceive yourself. Bad company will corrupt you. Does it say might corrupt you? Oh, they don't have an effect on me. I remember when I was a youth pastor, like, oh, this has no effect on me at all. This person has no effect. I promise you, the people that you hang around always has an effect on you, right? So when you think about the relationships that are closest to you, who has the most influence in your life? And what about the influences of those people are drawing you close to God? And then here's another question. Of those who are closest to you, who would be people who are actually pulling you away from your relationship with God? Right, because can I just tell you, and I'm going to meddle a little bit tonight, and it'll just be all right, but can I just tell you, the people, like, we all have people who will pull us away from the Lord, right? Maybe just, let me just give a real temptation next Sunday night and Sunday morning. Like, every time there's a gathering, let's just go home and do our own thing. You have it, right? And we're just going to go over here and do our own thing, right? We all have people like that. Sometimes it's us, right? Right? So let me ask that you just take some time. All of us should have relationships and connections and interactions with people who are far from God. But tonight, I'm talking about relationships that influence you the most, that we should spend some time just to evaluate those. Because can I ask you a question? Like, when you're around your friends, would Jesus be comfortable and welcome in your friend group? Or would you have to put him in the closet until the friends left? Would your friends say, well, who is this guy? Let me ask it this way. If Jesus was, I'll skip on. I moved on here. So it's important, I guess, tonight to evaluate our earthly relationships. And as important as that is, how many of you know we have a God, and here's where we want to get tonight, who invites us to fellowship, to closeness, to be at home with Him all the time. Right? He wants to be our closest friend. Can I just say this? And I know this isn't going to be popular because I've had people like, well, I just love my spouse. I love Michelle to death. But can I just tell you, Jesus should be your closest friend. The Bible says he ought to be closer to he's closer than a brother. He should be closer to he should be closer to any family member you have, closer than your spouse, your children. I know. Go ahead. Not my child. Your children, right? Your best friend. Jesus, what did he say? I'm a jealous guy. I want to be first. He doesn't want to be on your list. He's like, well, he's in the top five. He wants to be first. Yep. Right? He's not just a God that we read about, but he's a God that wants to relate to us and talk to us and that we listen to and we're at home with. When we pray our prayers, it's not just about coming to Jesus and giving us him our personal to-do list, right? Prayer is about relational communion with God. When we read the Bible, you don't just read the Bible to gain information and study God's word. We want to know him and his will and his ways so we understand his nature, his character, and his heart. Jesus invites us to a real relationship with him, to be close to him and close to his presence. So John chapter 15, verses 1, first 11 verses, let's just read it. It says this, "I'm the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears fruit, much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Father, I pray for the next few moments, Lord God, that you would just, Lord, help us, Lord God, to not just have more information on what we should do, but Lord God, that we would have, Lord, information that would be transformation because we met with you tonight and Lord, your Holy Spirit changed our hearts. And God, we just thank you. We give you glory and honor and praise tonight for what you're going to do. And Lord, just what you're going to remind us of tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So I want to just give you three real quick thoughts from this passage. I know it's a familiar passage, but I learned something in this whole deal that I'm excited to share with you. The first idea tonight I want to talk to you about is just being connected to Jesus. And I know we're the saints. I get it. But how many know even the saints sometimes struggle with abiding? Right? So Jesus, this is his final conversations leading up to his crucifixion. His disciples are listening to what he's saying. And then you and I as current day disciples, this is for us. And so here's what it says in verses 1 through 2. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bring more fruit." The reference in this passage of the vine is interesting. He's saying, hey guys, I'm the true source. And I'm the one that has life, and I'm the one that gives you access to God, and I'm the true vine, and God the Father is the caretaker and for everyone that is connected to the vine. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, takes away. How many know that's not a threat from Jesus? That's just letting us know that if we don't belong to him, if we don't truly belong to him, like you have no part with him, right? It's not like a threat, right? But listen, if you do belong to Jesus, ready? Hold on. Everybody say, I can take it. He prunes you. Anywhere ever felt like, do you ever feel like God prunes you? Is he doing any pruning in your life? Does he ever challenge you or stretch you or confront you on things? Right? If God isn't pruning you, I just sometimes wonder if we're abiding very well. right? I get really scared when people, and here's our tendency as people, especially if we've been saved for a long time, our tendency is like, I already know it all. Like, right, you saw the Facebook announcement tonight, and you're like, oh, John 15, the vine. Yeah, I already know that verse. And so you come in already shut up because, you know, because we think, well, I already know that, right? And we're more interested in all the other stuff. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes we're more interested in scrolling than we are scripture, right? And I'm just simply saying to you tonight, listen, if you don't ever feel conviction of the Holy Spirit, don't think you're perfect. Don't think that you and God have got it all worked out. Ask yourself this question. If you're close to Jesus, then is God pruning me? Is he challenging? Is he doing? Because listen, if you ever get to a point where like you haven't had to apologize to somebody in a long time, and you have had to ask for forgiveness, and you hadn't had to check your attitude, that does not mean you're all good and highly favored. That means, man, maybe you're thinking too highly of yourself. Right? Because remember Moses, he gets in the presence of God, and what does he say? I'm unclean. Right? He didn't say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm not opposed to that. I'm just simply, right? You see what I'm saying? Like sometimes we can think we've gotten here because we've been here for so long. Right? But can I just remind you that pruning is a gift from God that makes us better. Proverbs 3:12 says that God disciplines those he loves. Hebrews chapter 12 says no one thinks discipline is good at the time, but it will make you righteous. How many want to be righteous? Right? All right, some of us. Can we try that one more time? How many of you would like to be righteous? Okay, so are you still not? Okay, right? You do you, man. John chapter 15, verses 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. And again, I just want to remind you what abide means. Abide means to remain, to dwell, to stay. How many would agree the American church today, we're just not very good at that, right? We already know what's supposed to happen. Tonight, Pastor Jeff, now we started doing worship on Wednesday night, so we're going to do worship. He's going to give a few announcements. We're going to pray for a moment. He's going to do 30 minutes, and by 7:30, we're out. And we want God to show up, but we don't. I believe it. He shows up every time. We're already gone. Because we got to get to the next place. Because we have an agenda. And I'm not saying it's bad to have an agenda. I'm just simply saying our agenda better start being his agenda. Right? Anybody grow up in the time where you went on a Sunday night and you didn't know what time you're getting out of church? Come on, somebody. You're like, 6 o'clock until. How many know you don't get people, new people to come to church until? I was thinking about, and we'll just get how much we get tonight, but I was just thinking about what we're willing to wait for. We'll wait 3 hours for a football game, but we won't wait 30 minutes in the presence of God. We'll wait for a restaurant in Louisiana, but we won't wait for the presence of God. Right? We'll wait in line at the DMV because we got to have it. But we won't wait in the presence of God and then wonder how come we don't experience it. Right? I think a lot of Christians today are complaining about a God who's not showing up. And I think he's in his house. And we're quick to come to his house and get out of his house. Right? Our lives are to be in Christ. He is to be our closest friend, the one we desire to be with and to be known by. We are to pray and love and serve and worship and study to know God, not just on Sundays, but every day. Verse number 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's what's interesting about vines. This is what I learned, okay? In many plants, the branches on the plant sucks the energy out of the root, right? We all know that, right? Or out of the trunk, like with trees or fruit plants or a bush. The roots are what sustains the branches because the branches are pulling from the root. So when the plants die, they die at the root. But vines are different, right? The roots, if you ever looked at, right, now I went to get a plant at my house, but we kill everything, okay? So, right, like we got a big, beautiful mum that's now turned brown, right? Like it was beautiful, yellow, right? We're like, it's just the way it is, right? But here's the deal. If you look at the root system of a vine, there's not really that much to it. Right? You can cut a vine all the way to its base and it will come back. Why? Because vines are unique in that they don't have branches that pull from the root, but the vine and the root, it presses itself into the branches. If you ever cut ivy from your vines from your house, you'll see that the next year they'll be back because vines press out to their branches. So why is Jesus using this vine analogy? Because he's inviting us to dwell and abide with him, to exist in him as the vine. Does that make sense? Right? And when we do, we don't take from him, but his nature, the true vine, he presses himself into us. His nature becomes our nature. And we abide in him and dwell in him, and he presses himself into us and makes us into the person he intends us to be. Does that make sense? But here's the risk, right? We want to be connected to Jesus, but sometimes we're tempted to be disconnected, right? Some plants reproduce if you cut off at the branch and replant it, but vines aren't designed that way. It's very difficult for a leaf or a branch or a vine to be healthy. The leaves have to stay connected. In the same way, you and I've got to stay connected to Jesus, right? Verse number 15 says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is just reminding us, hey, and can I just tell you, like sometimes in our life, the reason nothing's happening is because it's an abiding issue, right? Our source of life has to be connected to Jesus. If you're depleted because you're trying to obey better to please God, or because you're discouraged because you're trying to serve and give and be good enough to please God, you're trying to be a branch without being with a vine. And it's exhausting. And I can't tell you the number of Christians who try to do that. We wonder how come we have no joy and no peace and none of the promises of God. And it all comes down to like abiding in him. Right? Right? We're trying to produce. And he's like, you don't have to do that. You just abide. Right? And I know we don't talk about that work a lot, that word a lot, but I'm just telling you that this is just good. If you feel like your walk with God is producing nothing, it's not that God isn't real. Sometimes we just got to say, am I abiding with him? Am I connected with him? If I'm always exhausted trying to be Christians today are always exhausted trying to be godly without abiding. Right? We're tired because, I'm trying this Christian life, man, it's tough. And he's like, if you'll just abide, right? There's no way to become like God without abiding in God. You won't become who you don't hang out with. So quit trying to work harder and start abiding more. Right? Verse number 16 says, anyone who does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Notice he's not, I want you to hear what he's saying. Notice what he's not saying. He's not saying whoever doesn't bear fruit. He's not talking about that right now. Jesus never said anything about that right now. Stop being afraid that you're not doing enough. He says, right? Because I've got pastor friends, and man, they're all about bearing fruit. And we got to have the fruit. And we're supposed to be faithful and fruitful. I get all that stuff, but can I just tell you, it's not bad, it's just sometimes we get the priority wrong. Because he says, whoever doesn't abide in me, right? We got to abide in Jesus. We want the fruit minus the abiding. We want the attendance and salvations and Holy Spirit and the deliverance and all the stuff without abiding. And most pastors, oftentimes, and Christians, we get exhausted because we're trying to pursue the fruit instead of resting in Jesus and abiding. And he says, when you do that, the fruit will come. Again, I prayed it earlier, and I know we say we believe it, but we work like we don't, right? He says, if you'll seek me first, I'll take care of all this other stuff. But we try to take care of all this other stuff, and then we try to fit him in where we can, right? But listen, we can look at our schedules, our values, the fruit that we bear, and the fact that God is always working on us and pruning us. And if those things aren't there, ask yourself, am I abiding in him? How are you abiding? How are you bearing fruit? Not because, listen, the fruit isn't the priority. It's just the result of time being with Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? The fruit's going to come because I've been with him. And here's number three. God promises what he promises for our prayers. John chapter 5 or 15 verse 7, it says, if you abide with me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, this is cool, and it will be done for you. Let me read that one more time. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus is giving us the key, if you will, to having your prayers answered. Now this is not a magic formula. It's just a key, right? As we abide in him and his will and his word and his way, it presses in to become part of who we are. And then we start praying for things that God would want for us. Does that make sense? So we pray and we begin to pray out of an overflow of what God desires and has pressed into us. I begin to pray God's will, right? A branch, listen, a branch doesn't desire anything more than A branch on a vine doesn't require any or desire anything more than what the vine is pressing into it. Right? A branch on a grapevine never asks for an apple to pop out because it's not the nature of the vine to produce an apple. So the branch's only desire, follow me, is to have the nature of the vine that was produced on it, right? In the same way, as we abide in Jesus, we desire what Jesus wants. As we dwell in him and in his presence and begin to pray according to his will, his word, and his way, we can ask whatever we want in prayer and he will do it because, listen, that's what he was going to do anyway. Right? That's a good jump start for people's prayer life. And then in verses 8 through 9, it says, by this, my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit, so that you prove that you are my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in the vine. The branches don't pull nutrients and energy from the vine. The vine pushes nutrients and energy to the branches. Let me say that one more time. The branches don't pull nutrients and energy from the vine. The vine pushes nutrients and energy to the branches. God wants to, right? But we got to abide, right? Jesus desires that we receive more of him, and when we do, we'll bear much fruit. And I just want you to get this, right? And we're about to close, right? But bearing fruit is not the command of Jesus. Abiding in him is the command. And the fruit is the result. Right? The way we measure that we're bearing fruit. Like we're all about, right? Every time we think about fruit, we start evaluating our life. The problem is not so much about what you're producing as about how you're abiding. And we just don't live in a culture that appreciates abiding. We're rushing, right? We're rushing to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So I just want to close by saying this. Jesus is calling us not to do more, but to be more. Let that settle. Not to be more or do more, but to be more. More connected to Him, more devoted to Him, more present with Him. And I'm going to say this, hey, could I, Greg, could you come up, and Michelle, just for a moment, I want to close just with maybe creating me a clean heart. Let's do that one. We're coming up on the holidays, and a lot of us, I'm going to go see my parents, you know, for Thanksgiving, and we'll make a day trip or overnight trip. And here's the deal. Most of you are going to go someplace or at the very least, even if you stay here, how many know, like most of us are at some point over the holidays, right? Maybe everybody comes to your house, but at some point over the holidays, you're going to go to some kind of party or someplace where like you're going to somebody else's home. True? Right? When I go to my parents' house, I don't walk in and say, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to change the channel. And I'm going to go to the refrigerator. I'm going to cook what I want to cook. And we're going to do everything. Like, hey, I get up at this time and I do this. And right. My parents, they keep their heat on about 90 degrees year round. I don't mess with their deal. Right. They don't usually get up at this point in their life until about 9 o'clock. Right? That's when they kind of get up and get around. I'm not going to go in and say, hey, get up. It's already 9 a.m. Why? Because it's their house. Are you following me? I adapt and honor. Well, now to be perfectly honest with you, we rent a hotel so we don't have to burn up. But anyway, and there's not enough room, okay? But here's the truth. But I go into their house and I adapt to their schedule and what time they get up and how they like to get breakfast at 10 o'clock and what time they do supper and when they want to go out to my aunt's to eat Thanksgiving dinner. Why? Because it's their house. And I don't impose my schedule and my way of doing things on them. Can I just tell you something? You ready? Jesus has a house. And He has a way of doing things. And He has things that He wants. And can I just tell you why we don't sometimes receive all that He wants for us? Because we come into the church and we come into His house and we try to impose our schedule in His house. We try to impose our way. Lord, here's the deal. Ain't nobody staying for, we ain't going to Sunday nights until people are finished. Like, we'll never get home. Like, people aren't going. We try to tell God what's going to work and what doesn't work instead of just like, it's His house. And I'm going to come into His house and God, it's your house. You do whatever you want. And some of you are afraid. I'm not suggesting we're going to have an undetermined amount of time on Sunday morning or Sunday night. I am simply saying it is His house. Does that make sense? We try to impose what we want and what we think. And well, I'm only going if this is the deal. I'm only going at. And He's like, it's my house. And if you'll come and you'll walk with me, and you'll sit with me, and you'll abide with me, then you'll bear fruit. Then you'll see miracles. But see, here's the deal. We want to come in for a 30-second. Some of the miracle. Remember back when we had like bona fide miracles? Back in the day, we still have miracles today, by the way, right? Like, do you realize today, I know, like, this year, can I just give you some good news, right? Like, Bible sales are up 40% this year over last year, 40%. Young teenage men is the fastest are coming back to the church. The church, for the first time in years, is actually on the increase instead of the decline and not plateau. Right? And the young men are leading it. Young men. More so than the women. Or the young girl. Come on, somebody. Why? Because we just decided we're going to do what God wants to do. And tonight, I just want us to just spend some time tonight just simply. Did that help anybody? Like, we're just in His house. Let Him do what He wants to do. Let's get, like, quit getting so in a rush to hurry up. I got, right? If you, listen. If it, make Him priority and just see what happens. Right? What if instead of just doing your Bible reading program so you could count off and you get the streaks, that you actually just sit in the Word today? Instead of like, okay, I read my devotion, but you just sat in and you just said, okay, God, speak. And just sat there. I can't be still. No, you won't be still. Right? Because I've seen us all, right? We can do what we want to do. And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just simply saying that His desire tonight is that we abide. And if we'll abide, but sometimes we just look at these things, we're like, miracle. Like, dude, listen, everybody went to the Brownsville revival back in the day. Can I just tell you, there was years of abiding before the revival ever happened. Years of Sunday night prayer that nobody showed up at. Just a handful of people. Right? Oh, we need a bunch of it. No. We just need to abide. And out of abiding in Him, He says, you'll bear much fruit.